Church. I do hope that you are well. Welcome to Hope Church Online. My name's Mark. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. And I'm so pleased that you can join with us wherever you may be watching, in different parts of London and even across the world. Now, did you know that as a Christian, you were designed to hear the voice of God? In fact, if you are a Christian watching this today, you have heard the voice of God. Because the day that you were converted, the day you became a Christian, you responded to the voice of God. Because it's always God who initiates and we who respond. So today we're going to look at a question. The question is this: how do I hear the voice of God? It's a question that I know many of us ask. Can we distinguish the voice of God from all the other voices that there are in the world? Our own voice, the voice of culture, the voice of media, the voice of our friends and family, the voice of Satan. So many different voices. The Bible is full of men and women of God who hear the voice of God. God speaks to them in a whole variety of different ways. And some of us ask, well, has God stopped speaking? Why can't I hear God speak to me? The simple answer is, so often we're just not tuned in and we don't spend time to listen. If you're old, a bit older like me, you'll know that radios used to have a dial that you had to turn to tune in. You had to find the frequency. There was all the fuzz and everything, and you had to find the frequency of the radio station that you wanted. You have to really be careful if it was a radio station that had a lot of disturbance around it. You had to dial just to get that perfect reception to hear the music or the football commentary or whatever it is that you were listening to. The thing about those radios was that even if they were tuned in, one day they could get knocked, or the aerial got knocked, or the frequency slightly changed, and you had to retune them the next day or the next time you came to turn the radio on. That's so often like it is with us and God. We tune into God one day and then we don't tune in the next day. We need to spend time tuning in to God. You see, God has never stopped speaking. So why? Why is it important for us to hear the voice of God? Just very quickly, the reasons why it's important for us to hear the voice of God is, firstly, it proves you are a child of God. Jesus himself says, my sheep, hear my voice. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. John 8 verse 47. If you're a Christian, you belong to God and you hear from God. The second reason why it's so important to hear the voice of God is it protects you from mistakes. God's voice is there to lead us and to guide us to the left and to the right, to help us to prosper in life. I know in my own life that so many times mistakes that I have made have been because I have not listened to the voice of God. I have not followed the promptings of the voice of God. How many times have you been in bad situations and made bad mistakes because you know that ultimately you have not listened to the voice of God? And the third reason why it's so important to hear the voice of God is it leads us to a productive life. It leads us to all that God has for us, his plans, his purposes, and his blessings. Our lives are to be hearing God and acting upon it, and hearing God and acting upon it. That is how we live life to the full. So what I want to do today is look at two foundations to hearing the voice of God, and then we'll get really practical. The first foundation that we're to build everything on when it comes to hearing the voice of God is that we are in a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. Being a Christian is about being in a relationship with God. You see, God loves you. He loves you not based on what you do. God loves you as you are, as a child of God. He loves everything about you. He delights in you. He knows every hair on your head. He loves spending time with you. In the Bible, there are two pictures of our relationship with God. The first is of our Heavenly Father spending time with his children. The second is of a bride and a bridegroom, that Jesus is our heavenly bridegroom. In both pictures, we know that the Father and his children and the bride and the bridegroom love to spend time together. They love to listen to one another. They love to share life. The ups, the downs, the mundane, the boring, the exciting, the painful, everything. To share life together. God is interested in every detail of your life. He's interested in your questions. He's interested in your doubts. He's interested in your insecurities. He's interested in it all. Now listen, you will struggle to hear from God unless you understand that you're in a relationship with your Heavenly Father who is interested in every area of your life. Ask God. Speak to God. Have a conversation with God. He is longing to answer. God is not trying to hide his will. He's not trying to play games with us. The Bible says we often have not because we ask not. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we're challenged as believers to ask of God. God is waiting for you to ask. He's waiting for you to initiate conversation. Are you talking? Are you asking? Are you spending time listening? Because God is in a relationship with you and he is longing to talk, to converse, and to share. I remember a number of years ago when Amelia, who's our middle child, was having lunch. Jen told me this story. I was at work and she was having lunch and Levi was a lot younger, so Levi went for a sleep. It was in the middle of the day, Levi was going for his nap, and Amelia was a bit older, so she was still at the dinner table. They'd had some lunch and Jen was putting Levi to bed. Now Jen left a yogurt on the table for Amelia to have as her pudding. And when Jen came back, the yogurt was everywhere. I mean, it was all over Amelia, it was all over the table, all over the floor. This yogurt had just everywhere, as far as the eye could see. And Jen was like, "Why is this such a mess, Amelia?" And Amelia said, "Mummy, you didn't give me a spoon." And Jen's response was, "You only had to ask." That's so like us. So like us. God is there waiting. He's waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for us to ask him so that he can then give to us. He wants to, he's willing, but he says, "Ask, my child. Don't get into the mess. Don't make the mistake. Ask. Ask." And we're to be specific when we ask. You know, I think it's so important to be specific when you're asking God for something. "Lord, I need help in this area. Lord, I'm struggling with this person. Lord, I'm struggling with this situation." Ask God and God will answer. He will give you what you need. Countless times I've gone to bed with a worry and anxiety. I've prayed to God and woken up in the morning with a different perspective and an answer to that solution. Now, I want to just delve a little bit deeper here for a moment and challenge some of us. You see, so many of us settle with hearing one thing from God, or we settle with small talk. I heard a story this week, which I think encapsulates this so well. So a little boy who was in the back seat of his parents' car, and they were driving through the Rockies. And as they were, this little boy suddenly out of nowhere said, "God's just told me that there'll be a boulder coming up in the road." And his parents were like, "Wow, you just heard from God? Okay, we'll slow down, we'll slow down." And sure enough, as they turned the corner, there was a massive boulder in the road. The parents were like, "Oh, incredible, you heard from God. Thank you for rescuing us, for saving us, so we didn't have a crash. That's amazing." And then the dad said to the boy, "What's God saying now?" And the little boy said, "Can we go to McDonald's?" And you see, I think that's so like us. It's so like you and me. You see, God will answer our prayer. We will hear from God, and then we will stop. "Oh, I've got one thing from God. Oh, God has answered one prayer. Now back to worldly matters. Now back to my needs and desires." And we stop listening. We stop listening to God, who is speaking all the time. So the first foundation is so simple but so important. If we're going to hear from God, the first foundation is that God is in relationship with us. We're to ask, we're to listen. We're to listen, we're to ask. We're to ask, we're to listen. That's the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. Second thing, the second thing to hearing God's voice is submission. The second foundation is submitting to the voice of God. You see, some of us, we hear God speak, but we say, "I've already decided what I'm going to do. God, I'm going to ignore what you're saying. Oh, God isn't confirming what I want to do, so I'm not bothering to listen to what he has got to say." The foundation for hearing God's voice alongside the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father is that we are to submit to his voice, because our ways are not his ways, and his ways are higher than our ways. The example of Moses is really helpful here. Moses in the Old Testament. Moses, who for 40 years was a somebody, the prince of Egypt. Then for 40 years was a nobody. He was in the wilderness looking after sheep. And then for 40 years, he was God's somebody who took the Israelites out of captivity and out of slavery. But that moment, two-thirds of the way through Moses' life, when God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, when God revealed himself as the great I Am, and entrusted the challenge and the calling of Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." That moment in Exodus chapter 3 was an incredibly powerful moment. But what followed was this lesson, the lesson of submission, the lesson of giving everything to God, the lesson of it's one thing to hear God's voice, but we're then to submit to God's ways and God's call on our life. So I just want to read a couple of verses, Exodus chapter 4 and verses 1 to 5. "Then Moses answered, 'But behold, they will not believe me, God, or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you.' The Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' Moses said, 'A staff.' And he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, 'Put out your hand and catch it by the tail.' So he put out his hand and he caught it, and it became a staff in his hand again. God says, 'This is that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you.'" So what's happened here? It's a miracle, but it's really a teaching point of Moses' staff turning into a live snake, which is a miracle, but more than that, it is a teaching point on what God is teaching Moses to submit to him and give everything to him. You see, Moses, God says to Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses says, a staff. Now, the staff was very important to the shepherd because the staff was his identity. It's who he was. It's his job. His job as a shepherd. It's what Moses did. It wasn't just his identity, though. It was his income. Because you could tell a person's wealth by the amount of animals that they had. If you have a big flock of sheep or cattle, you are a rich man. If you have a very small flock of sheep, then you are a poor man. So not only was this staff Moses' identity, it was also his income and also his influence. Because you see, this staff was what he used to discipline the sheep, to guide them, to lead them, to hook them out of trouble. And God is saying to Moses, I want you to lay down your staff. I want you to lay down your income, lay down your identity, and lay down your influence. I want you to give it to God. I want you to give it all to God. And as you do, God says, my plans and my purposes will come alive. Lay down the dead stick, and my plans and my purposes will come alive. And you know, that's what God is saying to you. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? What's your identity? What's your income? What's your influence? Submit it to God and things will come alive. You see, hearing the voice of God is submitting to God's plans and his purposes. It's saying, not my will, but yours be done. It's saying, God, your ways are better than my ways. It's saying, I choose to follow your voice, God, rather than my own. Like I've already said, the truth is, some of us have heard the voice of God, but we're not willing to submit to the voice of God. We'd rather ignore the voice of God and hold on to our dead staff and hold on to the little box that we think our life is placed in. Jesus, in John's gospel, did everything the Father prompted him to do. That's what it says in John's gospel. Jesus did everything the Father prompted him to do. He heard the voice of God and he acted. I know in my life, that challenge as it has been, I have learned to submit to God's ways and not to hold on to my identity, my influence, and my income, but rather give it to God and see it come alive. See his plans and his purposes come alive. Now I want to close by just getting really practical on the how to, on the how exactly, the nuts and bolts of how we hear the voice of God. But you've got to hear that it's all underpinned by these two foundations. We're in a relationship with our Heavenly Father who loves to spend time with us, who loves to speak us, and is communicating all the time. And we're to submit to the Father's ways. We're to submit to God's ways, which are better than our ways. We're to give him our staff, our dead staff, and see things come alive. Now, on the practical, on the how-to, I want to turn to Habakkuk. Habakkuk's one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And in the first chapter of Habakkuk, it's Habakkuk asking questions. Habakkuk asking all kinds of things of God. And then Habakkuk chapter 2 is God's response. So I want to read Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1 to 2. Because here we find a helpful template for the how to. The how we hear the voice of God. I will take my stand at the watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. Five simple steps to how we hear the voice of God. Firstly, we're to withdraw. If we're going to hear the voice of God, we need to spend time alone with God. Habakkuk says that he climbed a watchtower. Jesus withdrew to a lonely place. Habakkuk goes up a tower to be alone on his own. Jesus goes up a mountainside. We need to find where it works for us to spend some time alone with God, where there's no noise, where the phone is off, where there's no 24 news cycle, where people can't get hold of us, where there's no kind of background kind of music or humming of life. Find that place where you can be alone with God, where you remove the distractions. So firstly, you're to withdraw. The second thing you're to do is to wait. Habakkuk says he went up a tower and he stationed himself there. In other words, he waited. He didn't move. He stayed there for a period of time. Listen, hurry is the death of prayer and listening to God. People who hear from God are not hurried. They spend time alone with God. It's one of the things that I find most difficult. I'm driven to do the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. But if you want to hear from God, we're to spend time away where we can listen and not rush on. David, who probably heard from God more than anyone apart from Jesus in all of Scripture, said, be still and know that I am God. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. Until you're comfortable with silence, you'll find it really difficult to hear from God. It takes time to hear the voice of God. It takes time to tune in. It takes time to talk, to listen, to talk, to listen. It takes time to do this. So many of us think, oh, I want to hear from God, and we snatch a moment and snatch a moment. And God will speak in those moments, but we want to spend time where we're alone, where we withdraw, where there's no hurry, where we can listen, where we can wait. The third thing we're to do is to read the word of God. Habakkuk says that he looked out to see what God will say to me. The Bible is God's word. And God's will is found primarily in the Bible. We're to look to the Bible and read the Bible as our primary source of God speaking to us. If you're waiting for a sign in the sky, I would encourage you first to read God's will. Read God's word. Rick Warren said famously, he's an American preacher, he said, stop waiting for a voice and start looking for a verse. When we withdraw, when we wait, we're to read God's word. It's where God will speak to us. It's where God will reveal things to us. We'll read the same passage for the 50th time, and yet God will reveal something to us that we've never seen before, that will speak to our life and give us guidance for the future. Fourth thing we're to do is to write down the insights that we receive. Again, Habakkuk chapter 1 is what Habakkuk said to God. He writes down all he says to God, his questions, the things he says. Habakkuk chapter 2 is then what God says back. Write it down, says that in verse 2. Write down the vision. Write down your prayers. I tell you, you'll be so encouraged if you take a notebook and on one page you write down your prayers to God. On the other side, you write down the answers to the prayers, or the things that God reveals, or the words that God gives you, or the scriptures that come to you as you listen, as you wait, as you withdraw, as you read God's word. But write it down. Write it down. Paper to pen. Write it down. It's proof for the dark times. It's proof of the answers to prayer. It's an encouragement when times are tough. And it's encouragement to show to others. It's an encouragement to believe in more. And finally, review regularly what God has taught you. You know, review the things that God is speaking to you about. Test an impression. Is it from Satan? Is it a lie? Is it just made up? Or is it from God himself? Here's some questions that help when we're to review what God is saying. Some really helpful questions. The first and the foremost one is it consistent with God's word? Is it in line with the plumb line, which is scripture? Would it make me more like Jesus? Will what I believe God is saying, would it make me more like him? Would it make me more Christ-like? When I hear from God, the ultimate aim is to be more like Jesus. Do the church family confirm what God is saying? You know, the beautiful thing about being a Christian is you're part of a family. You're part of the family of God. You're part of the family of God at Hope Church, a diverse, beautiful group of people. And when you belong to that family, it's a place where if you get a word from God or you hear from God, you can discuss that. I heard this. I think this is what God is saying. I feel this is from God. I think this scripture says this. And you know, in that belonging, in that sharing, we can find out the truth. Oh, actually, yeah, that's really helpful. I think that's really good. Or, well, actually, I don't think I've heard anyone have that interpretation. I actually don't think that's correct. I don't think you're actually quite hearing from God. We can learn together. We can bring it together. If in doubt, you check it out. You come and you say, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. Do you think it's from God? This is what scripture says. You know, check it out. It's not to be in isolation. We're not to kind of hear from God in isolation and plow our own path. We're to hear from God and bring it to the family and bring it to the leaders and bring it to God's people and to discern and to learn and to grow together. So let me conclude. I hope today has been helpful. It's a one-off message and I hope it's been helpful. God is speaking and we are designed to hear the voice of God. We're designed as humans to hear our Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, speak to us. That happens in relationship. It happens when we ask questions, we speak and God speaks and we speak and God speaks and we speak and we get a conversation going and we learn to hear the voice of God and we respond and we learn and we grow. It happens in relationship and it happens in submission because God's ways are better than our ways. And though we fight against it sometimes, God's ways are perfect. And God knows more than we know. And God sees the beginning from the end. So we're to submit to him. Relationship and submission. Now in 2021, we are in a season of transition. And God is speaking. All the time he is speaking. My challenge to you, my challenge to myself, I hold up the mirror, is am I spending time listening? Am I spending time engaging with God, my Heavenly Father? Here's an interesting thought. You know, people who check banknotes, check for forgery, they spend all of their training and all of their time studying the real thing. They study proper notes, proper £10 notes, £50 notes. They study the real thing. They don't spend any time studying counterfeits. They spend all their time studying the original. Church, the way to hear God's voice is to spend time in God's presence, is to spend time reading God's word, is to spend time in prayer. The more you do that, the more you will hear the voice of God. You will know what the original is, and you will know the counterfeits. How? Because you've heard the voice of God. You know the voice of God. So let's keep listening. Let's keep listening. And one final little thought. Abraham heard from God. He heard from God to go and sacrifice Isaac. He was obedient every step of the way, until he came to the actual action of putting into practice what God had told him to do. And then, because he was still listening, he heard the voice of God say, "Stop, stop, Abraham. There's a lamb in the thicket. Replace your sacrifice. Sacrifice the lamb. Let Isaac go free." What would have happened if Abraham had stopped listening to God? He heard from God what God was asking him to do as a test of faith, but he kept listening. He kept listening. He kept listening to the voice of God. Church, let's keep listening to the voice of God that will prompt us and guide us and lead us in this transition and this challenging season. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you that you are alive. You are a God who speaks. You're a God who spoke the universe into being, and you're a God who speaks to us. Each one of us has a relationship with Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, and you long to speak to us. You long for us to speak to you. You long for the interaction of relationship, of speaking and listening and speaking and listening. Lord, thank you that your plans are to bless us, and your plans are far beyond what we could imagine. Lord, help us to submit to your plans. And I pray, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us to this week spend time waiting and listening and withdrawing and reading your word and writing down what you say to us. Thank you, Lord, that we are in a living, vibrant relationship with God. Let us go out into this week enjoying that we have a God who speaks, a God who guides, and we can hear the voice of God. Church, as you go into this week, let your ears be open. You have a Father who is speaking, a Father who is guiding. So let's listen and let's respond, and let's listen and let's respond along the adventure